You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, a Tuesday edition of Locked On Warriors. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat writer for the Bay Area News Group. I'm opening up the mailbag today. I've got questions about the Warriors' plans at the trade deadline, Jordan Poole playing backup point guard, and more. But let's start with this question from Twitter at DubsPainTour. Draymond's regression on offense has become really glaring this year. What can the Warriors do to try and work around it or maybe fix it? I don't know that there's much to do as far as fixing Draymond Green's regression. The numbers are rather alarming. The eye test shows that he's clearly in another stage of his career, right? This is a guy who is going to be 31 next month. He is aging into that phase of his career. He looks slower than he ever has. He looks less athletic than he ever has, and he was not a great athlete to begin with. I think there's a lot of things that he still does well on the floor, right? The basketball IQ, the anticipation, captaining the defense, all of these things are really helpful to the Warriors, and he's still a net positive to Golden State. But still, the numbers are troubling. The shooting percentages have never been lower since his rookie season, and he's never been a great three-point shooter in the first place. He had one anomaly of a year from three-point range. But he's basically passing up every scoring opportunity he has. And it's something I wrote about a couple of games ago. He needs to at least try to score. He can't just settle into not scoring at all. At the end of that Orlando Magic game, they had an opportunity to go ahead and win that game. And instead of even looking to score, he had his back to the basket completely. He was completely turned around. He was more looking at the other basket than the one that they were trying to score on. You need to at least look at the basket. You need to at least pretend to be a threat. But his defenses are playing 10 feet off of him. They're putting their center on him. They're dropping fully back into the lane, all the way in the paint. It's clogging up cutting lanes for Kelly Oubre and Andrew Wiggins. It's making things more difficult at times for Steph Curry to get to where he wants to go. So when teams are playing 10-15 off of you, you got to at least shoot it every once in a while. You got to at least try. You have to at least make the defense think about you out there. And he's not doing that. And it's because there's no confidence in that shot, because he's never been shooting worse. And this is hurting his entire floor game. When guys are playing that far off of you, it's harder to pass. It's harder to find those passing lanes. And the athleticism is a big issue. Because even when he wasn't shooting well, and he's, again, one year where he shot well, every other year, always he hovered around 70% at the rim. This year, that's down to 57%. That shows a big decline in athleticism. He's not getting up near the rim as well as he used to. He's not finishing nearly at the rate that he used to. And so there are big questions about what it is that Draymond Green looks like, not only this year. I mean, forget this year. This year, you're just trying to make the playoffs. You want to be in the championship. You want to be competing for a title next season and the season after that. So what does Draymond Green look like when he's 32 years old, when he's 33 years old? If you're the Warriors, you need to be asking yourself that. And so that leads me to my next question. This one comes from DubsFan15. Would the Warriors consider trading Draymond at any point? Would there be any interest in him from other teams? I don't know how much interest there would be from other teams in the NBA. Because Draymond Green's primary strength right now, what he provides that is of most importance to the Warriors today, is his chemistry with Steph Curry. Now, if he gets traded to another team, as long as Steph Curry isn't on that team, he's not going to have that chemistry. Now, what he can do defensively as far as being the quarterback on that end and all the communication and the basketball IQ and all that, yeah, he'll be an effective defender, but he's not the on-ball defender he once was. Not even close. His impact is so much in the margins right now, and it is so institutional with the Warriors, that any team trading for Draymond Green would be getting an even more diminished product than what he is even right now for Golden State. And other teams know this, by the way. Other teams understand this. Now, that said, he could still be a helpful piece, a final piece of the puzzle for a championship contending team. The Lakers, the Clippers, those teams would love Draymond Green. Those teams would love Draymond Green. But the Warriors aren't trading Draymond to the Lakers. The Warriors are not trading Draymond Green to the Clippers. You could try to trade him out of conference. Miami, Toronto, I don't know. Teams like that. What are you going to get back for Draymond Green from Miami, from Toronto? You think Toronto's going to trade Pascal Siakam? You think Miami's going to trade Tyler Herro? No way. No way. If you're lucky, you get Kelly Olynyk and Mo Harkless or something like that. A protected first-round pick. Draymond Green makes a lot of money, and he's under contract for a while. Those teams don't want him. Not at that price, and they're not going to want to give up a ton of money or a ton of assets for him. So if you're the Warriors, what you end up doing here is holding on to Draymond Green. Would they ever consider trading Draymond? I don't even think they would, because of how respected he is in that organization. And I will say this, brief aside. 2 weeks ago, we were all talking about how great Draymond Green was. Oh, he's playing in the best shape of his season. Oh, look, he's all these assists. He should be the starting center. All these things. That's all I heard. But a couple of bad games, a mistake at the end of the Charlotte game, and now all of you guys want him traded. I get it. I understand that. There are concerns about Draymond Green that are very real. But it's not as bad as you might think right now, just like things weren't as good as you thought a week ago. It's somewhere in the middle, as these things tend to be. So this idea, though, of trading Draymond, it's just not realistic. What are you going to get for him? Who is trading for him? And what would you get that would be of better value to you right now, institutionally, with what it is that Draymond Green does? I still think that he has a net positive impact on this team. His chemistry, his two-man game with Steph Curry is extremely valuable. I think there's ways to fix this. I think that next year, when you look at this team, with Klay Thompson back, with maybe some other pieces that you add, he could still bind an elite offense together. I think he could still be an important part on an elite defense. There are limitations that you have to overcome, but those limitations aren't what they are right now if you surround it not just by Steph Curry, but also by Klay Thompson. And Andrew Wiggins playing in that role and continuing to grow in that role. And James Wiseman maybe continuing to develop and maybe being a stretch five. All of these things play around Draymond Green. And Draymond Green, I think, could be the glue that holds all that stuff together. I think there's still a world in which that is the case. But if you're the Warriors, this to me, this problem that we're talking about speaks to the larger issue that the Warriors really have to be thinking about. And I hope they are. What do you do to maximize Steph Curry's prime? Because if Draymond Green is already like this, a few days before turning 31 years old, what more will you have to do to surround Steph Curry to go win a championship when Steph Curry is a year older and when Draymond Green is 32 years old, when Draymond's 33 years old? How much more help do you need to give Steph Curry? How much more help do you have to give Steph Curry when Klay Thompson is coming off of two lower body injuries that robbed him of 2 years of his prime? What more do you have to put around Steph Curry? That is the ultimate question that the Warriors need to be asking. And if the answer is something that is not on this roster currently, then you have to start making some real moves. And I don't know that you get to wait for James Wiseman to get into his prime 8, 9, 10 years from now. I don't know if you can afford to wait that long. I don't know if you can afford to wait a couple more years for Klay Thompson to completely rehab. I don't know if you can afford for Draymond Green to play this sort of role the way that he is playing it without getting more help around those guys. Those are the questions they need to ask. Now, all of you want Kelly Oubre to come back weeks after you wanted him traded. I'll talk about that next, but first, let's talk about Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of vehicle makes and models, it can be impossible to stock all the parts you need for your car, especially now, while you might not be able to visit a traditional store. So do it easily online at rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low without the markup that you find at chain stores or car dealerships. So go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, and then write Locked On in their How Did You Hear Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts a breakdown of the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. This question comes from Raja P97_2. Will the Warriors be active during the trade deadline? Depends on what you define by active. I think they'll be listening to phone calls. So far, they've fielded several phone calls. They fielded a call from New Orleans about Lonzo Ball, all these sort of things. There's a report out there by Jake Fisher now of Bleacher Report that maybe they were listening to a phone call about Kristaps Porzingis. Now, I don't know that any of those deals will end up materializing. I don't think the Porzingis one particularly has many legs, but they will field these calls as we get closer to the trade deadline. I don't know that they're going to be super aggressive calling other teams, just because this what the Warriors have been so far, at least from their actions, reading between the lines here, they've been patient. Now, I would argue that they shouldn't be. I would argue that they should be aggressive in trying to go ahead and surround Steph Curry with the talent that he needs to go win a championship sooner rather than later. But everything that we've seen from this team, it seems like they want to wait for Klay Thompson to come back, see what it is that he looks like before making any major roster decisions. That said, they will try to create a spot for Juan Toscano-Anderson on the 15-man roster. They want to promote him from this two-way contract up to the regular 15-man roster. Now, they could just do that by waiving a player. They could do it by waiving Alan Smilegeach or somebody like that. But I think that they would prefer to try to make a trade. Maybe you move on from a Brad Wanamaker. Maybe you even move on from Kelly Oubre. Both of those guys are on expiring deals. Chances of them coming back next year are slim. Maybe you try to trade them now, get something back, maybe some sort of longer-term asset. You make a deal where you could do a two-for-one type situation where you're able to clear a roster spot and get somebody who might have more of a player who's on a longer-term contract than either Wanamaker or Oubre, if that's the sort of thing that they want to do. So maybe they go in that direction. I think we could see a move on the margins, something like that. Something like a one-for-one trade, possibly, for a player who's on a non-guaranteed deal or a partially guaranteed deal who you can then waive, and you save a little bit more money in order to cut that player and then bring up Juan Toscano-Anderson, because money is going to be a big part of this. Joe Lacob doesn't want to pay any more in luxury tax than he has to, most likely. So minor moves, fringe moves, a move to bring Juan Toscano-Anderson up to the 15-man roster, maybe something like that. That's what I think the Warriors will most likely do at the deadline. Now, that said, they surprised me last year when they ended up trading Andrew Wiggins for D'Angelo Russell. I thought they would wait until the summer, at least, to make that sort of deal. Maybe there's more urgency happening in that front office than they're letting on. And if that's the case, then maybe they do become buyers. I just don't know, really, outside of this Minnesota pick, what they have to move. Kelly Oubre plus the Minnesota pick, what does that get you? I don't know. Do they go after a Kyle Lowry type, a LaMarcus Aldridge type, a DeMar DeRozan type? I don't really know. I don't know that Bradley Beal is getting traded before the deadline, but anything can happen between now and then. The NBA changes day by day. So maybe there's a little bit more sense of urgency than they're letting on, and if that's the case, maybe they do try to make that sort of move. I just don't really know who the player is right now, but we'll see. Austin Scott writes in, people are so adamant that Kelly Oubre Jr. won't return to the Warriors, but if Kelly was willing to take a pay cut to come off the bench as a sixth man next season with Klay coming back, are the Warriors interested in re-signing Kelly Oubre? I think they would be. I think they would be interested in re-signing Oubre. I think what he brings from an energy standpoint, an athleticism standpoint, certainly what he can do on defense, would be helpful to this team. The big if is whether or not they want him back, because you've got to assume that he's going to play this well for the rest of the season. I'm not convinced that that's the case. He's always been a streaky shooter and a streaky player overall. I don't know if the Warriors are going to just lose their patience with that sort of thing. I think they value consistency. That said, he's young, he's athletic, he's helpful to this team. But if he does play that well, he's going to have a real opportunity to sign another big term, a long-term contract. And he's going to want as much money as possible, and rightly so. So I just think that there's too many big ifs here. Now, if he plays well and he just doesn't, and he's sick of moving, and the Warriors are really, you know, intrigued with bringing him back, and they like him as a person and as a character and all this stuff, yeah, I guess you can offer him something like $8-9 million a year to come off the bench. I suppose you could do something like that. But Kelly Oubre is in his mid-20s. I don't know. You can never take these opportunities to sign a long-term, expensive contract for granted. And so chances are that he's going to go out, try to sign another big contract. And so I think the chances are really slim that they bring back Kelly Oubre. And I think they always understood that. I think this was always a marriage of convenience. Kelly Oubre needing an opportunity to play on a playoff-caliber team to try to earn that next big contract. And the Warriors needing somebody for a year to replace Klay Thompson, to fill in for Klay Thompson at shooting guard until Klay comes back next year. Can Jordan Poole replace Brad Wanamaker as the backup point guard? That's coming up next. But first, let's talk about Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are in full swing. Bet Online even covers award shows, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time, updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, go to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use that promo code LOCKEDON, and you will get half of the money that you put in on your initial deposit back that you can bet with for free. Free money to win more money with. It's all at betonline.ag. Use that promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. February is Black History Month, and the Locked On Podcast Network is honoring the challenges and success of Black men and women in sports with a new series called Locked On Presents More Than the Game. Right now, you can hear Candace Cooper of Locked On Tar Heels and Erica Ayala of Locked On Women's Basketball discuss the opportunities and challenges that come with being a Black woman in sports. Subscribe to Locked On Presents, the podcast feed, on the radio.com app or wherever you get podcasts. This question comes from Ellie, who writes in, does Steve Kerr have plans to play Jordan Poole as a backup point guard instead of Brad Wanamaker? This is going to be an opportunity that Jordan Poole has. Brad Wanamaker has been not very productive in this backup point guard role. Let's put it that way. He's only three times this season scored in double digits. The turnovers are low, but he's just not all that impactful. Defensively, you trust him, but again, he's not creating chaos. He's not making stuff happen out there on the floor. And he's in a pretty bad shooting slump this year. He's not shooting very well from three-point range. So it's not like he's not taking the shots. He's trying to make them. He's just not making them. Jordan Poole, early in the season, he's a streaky shooter, right? To put it, that's probably the best case scenario for him is streaky shooter at the NBA level. Now, in the G League, in this bubble, the G League bubble season, he's been the highest scoring player in the G League bubble. But this is the G League. And we have seen time and time, Alan Smilegic at times looks dominant in the G League. And you see him in the NBA, and he's clearly 4 or 5 years away from playing any meaningful minutes in an NBA rotation. So it's really hard to gauge what a player can do in the G League or what the player could do in the NBA based on what he is doing in the G League. And oftentimes, that level of production doesn't really translate to the NBA. Just because Jordan Poole is scoring 23 points per game in the bubble does not mean all of a sudden he's going to be a highly productive player in the NBA. Jordan Poole, you hear him talk about this all the time. He just likes to have the ball in his hands. He likes to have the opportunity, all these things. That's great, and he'll get that when he plays in the G League. It's happening right now, and it happened last year when he went down there for a stretch. But he's just not going to have those opportunities with the Warriors at the NBA level. He needs to figure out ways to contribute like Juan Toscano-Anderson. Juan Toscano-Anderson, never super productive in the G League. Never super productive, but did all those things on the margin, those little things that help teams win when you're not the player who's being asked to lead the offense anymore. Those are the things that Jordan Poole is going to have to do. And so those shooting percentages are going to still have to climb up. A big concern that I have with what Jordan Poole has done in the G League, his assist-to-turnover ratio. He has more turnovers per game than assists per game. So I don't know that that lends that itself to being a trustworthy, reliable backup point guard. That said, I think he has tremendous basketball feel. I think he has underrated vision as a passer. He will have an opportunity to when he returns from the G League, as will Nico Mannion. Nico Mannion is more of a traditional point guard. He's a rookie. He's on a two-way contract. But by the time he gets back from this G League bubble, he should be able to play the rest of the season in Golden State without having to worry about maxing out his NBA days under that two-way deal. And so I think he could get some run as backup point guard. One thing we know is that Steve Kerr will experiment. He will experiment with different lineups, different combinations, and different players playing that quote-unquote backup point guard role. But what will ultimately happen is when Steph is not on the floor, it's going to be ball handling by committee, running offense by committee. And that's the best way to do it. Because if you don't have an elite point guard to come off the bench, you know, it's best to share. It's best to move the ball as much as you can. If you can get a player to initiate some drive and kick action, stuff like that, that's probably the best case scenario. Make some open shots, initiate some drive and kick stuff, just get the ball moving. But it's going to take all five guys when Steph Curry is not in there to run that offense at the necessary level. This question comes from HN, who writes in, would it be crazy to bring back Boogie and trade Looney or Chris? Could Boogie's passing make the Jayhawk wings a deadly cutting combo? DeMarcus Cousins reportedly going to be waived by the Houston Rockets. It's not working out there. No, it's not going to work out in Golden State either. I don't think you trade Kevon Looney for DeMarcus Cousins. You would much rather have Looney at this point than DeMarcus Cousins. With DeMarcus Cousins, he just gives up so much on the defensive end right now. He is so slow defensively. And the Warriors, all along, they have maintained top 10 defense. That's what they want to be, top 10 defense. DeMarcus Cousins would not get you to a top 10 defense. He would hurt you, if anything. I mean, the Rockets are bad this year, and they waived DeMarcus Cousins. They've just lost 8 straight games, and they're waving DeMarcus Cousins. They're like, you're not helping us. You think he's going to help the Warriors, a team that wants to make the playoffs? No. Marquise Chris, long-term, better outlook than DeMarcus Cousins right now. More valuable to the Warriors right now than DeMarcus Cousins. So no, I don't see DeMarcus Cousins as a potential option for the Warriors. Final question, this one comes from Dallin McNabola, who writes in, where in the rotation will James Wiseman play when he gets back? Part of that second unit, can he play with Pascal as a stretch five and EP at the four? I don't mind Wiseman and Pascal together in that lineup. Pascal, you know, needs some space, but Wiseman playing at the five could be a stretch five. He kind of creates some of that, and it finds minutes for both of those guys because Steve Kerr said Monday, Eric Pascal could see some more four going forward because that's ultimately probably his position in the NBA. It's Steve Kerr's point. He said for him to develop and for them to get the most out of Pascal going forward, he needs to end up playing power forward more often. And they're going to have to find ways to get guys minutes because it's not just Kevon Looney and James Wiseman, Eric Pascal anymore. Juan Toscano-Anderson is going to be a part of the rotation going forward, it sounds like. And so you need to find ways to get all these guys on the floor. I think Eric Pascal will play some more four going forward. And the lineup that makes the most sense, the combination in the front court that makes the most sense for Pascal, is probably Wiseman because, again, he can space the floor. And both of those guys together, Pascal's a good rebounder. I think that would help with Wiseman as far as if he's away from the basket, you want somebody who's physical and can get boards. And stuff like that. So yeah, I don't mind that at all. One thing we do know, everything is going to be on the table for Steve Kerr. I think Juan Toscano-Anderson playing five or some four alongside Draymond Green could be an option. That lineup was working really well for them over the last 10 games. Could be the lineup that they end up closing with. A small ball lineup that they can close with is Draymond Green and Juan Toscano-Anderson in the front court. So Steve Kerr will experiment a lot when James Wiseman comes back. And when Kevon Looney comes back. That could happen as soon as tonight. The Warriors play the Knicks tonight at Madison Square Garden. I will have a recap of that game for you tomorrow. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, and say nice things about the show. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to me at wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. Do us a favor, go to Apple Podcasts, leave a 5-star review on the show, and then leave a mailbag question in that 5-star review. We are going to do a 5-star review mailbag when we get enough questions. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and I'll see you here tomorrow morning.